Welcome to another edition of Lying on the Beach on Camera, L-O-B-O-C. And I'm Steve Greenberg with
Lois Whitman Hess.
And our engineer, David Nieves. Did I say that right, David?
Yes, David Nieves.
Nieves, okay. And of course, I have to always mention our sponsor, the Handle Stick. We'll tell you more about this in just a little bit, but Lying on the Beach on Camera is powered by Handle. But our extra special guest is Victoria Lang. She's joining us right over there. She is a Broadway legend, as far as I'm concerned. She's enjoyed an award-winning career in theater, television, film, concerts, podcasts. And her recent Broadway productions as a producer include Tootsie, which I saw, The Cher Show, which I saw, Sylvia, 1984, which I wanted to see, and Escape from Margaritaville, and a whole lot of other shows. One of her productions, the smash hit Matt and Ben, which blew my mind. Was the hottest play in New York.
One of my favorites.
Absolutely a favorite, and the top one of the top five plays of the year by Time Magazine. So please give a round of applause to Victoria Lang. Victoria, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
My absolute pleasure. It's an honor to have you here. So we're in this pandemic moment right now, and everyone's wondering, Broadway is dark. When will the lights come back on, and how will they come back on? Are we going to go back to live theater? And what's Broadway talking about? What are the thoughts?
Well, obviously, we'll come back at some point, you know. God willing that this virus will at some point, you know, be under control. But when Broadway closed on March 12th, the prevailing notion was we'd just be dark for a month. So it was April 12th, then the date was moved to the summer, then it was moved to September, then it was moved to January. Some now say March, so it could be a full year that Broadway is closed. But many theaters around the country are opening before that because the guidelines are different in every state. Some news came out today from Governor Cuomo in New York that even phase four in New York won't include theaters opening. So no one has a crystal ball, no one knows. It's all gonna depend on the public feeling safe gathering in large groups. So that's really when it will reopen.
Have they talked about possible ways of doing it? You know, audience wearing masks or every other row or something like that? Or there's just no idea how to move forward?
They've talked about it, and there's been, the Broadway League has had many, many committees, and there's so many of my colleagues that have, you know, volunteered so much of their time to put on committee after committee after committee to try to figure it out. But the bottom line is that the economics won't work unless the theaters are able to open at 100% capacity. You have to remember that most of the Broadway theaters were built many, many years ago. They're very small and cramped. And so getting people into the theater is very tight. Then the seats are very close together, the bathroom stalls, you know, if you've been in a Broadway theater, going down the stairs, even to the lobbies and into the bathrooms, it's very, very close quarters. So it'd be very difficult to be safe, even with masks and the, you know, the taking the temperatures and all of that, it's going to be very difficult to do that. So the one thing that the Broadway League has come out with is that it will be have to be at 100% capacity before Broadway theaters can reopen. Theaters around the country, though, are in a different mindset because many of the performing arts centers in larger cities that have larger space, you know, more space, are maybe 2,000 seats. They have were built, you know, they're more modern. They have more spacious lobbies, spacious bathrooms. They have, you know, they cannot come up with more, better ways of handling the, you know, the social distancing and all of the preventive measures that have to be taken.
So Victoria, just for our audience, and even David doesn't know this, just tell everybody, I mean, you run one of the largest production companies for regional theater. I mean, your company is going all over the world producing shows. So I just want them to understand who you are.
Well, we're not one of the largest, but
yes, you are.
Thank you. But my company, Broadway and Beyond Theatricals, happens to be very specific in the in what we do, and that we produce shows as well as distribute them, or we say book them into theaters regionally and tour them around North America for the most part. So that's why we have a handle on not only do we get involved in Broadway and off-Broadway shows, but we also create shows that just go straight to the road and just tour directly to the road, and then others that we will tour for other producers and book them around the country.
So the reason I asked you the question mm-hmm. is what you said about Broadway, is that true about regional theater as well?
About it opening?
Yes. And accommodating, having to be 100%
full? No, not so much, because what some of the, as the more modern theaters, if you want to say the ones that were built more recently, have more space and can social distance a little more. The economics are a little different. So for example, a theater that's say 2,000 seats could put a smaller show on their stage, maybe not a big Broadway musical that's got 20, 30 people in it with a big chorus of dancers, et cetera. They might put a show that's maybe a solo show or 2, 3, 4 character show on their stage and be able to social distance the audience down to maybe 500 people, and still the economics would work there because they've got the space in the audience, they've got the space on the stage and backstage, they're able to get their audience, and they've got a bigger lobby, they've got more bathrooms, and so they've figured out different ways to be able to accommodate what the social distancing measures that have to be taken into account to keep their audiences safe. So some of them are opening up, January, some are trying to do some holiday programming. We'll see if that happens. It's really city by city, not even state by state.
So Victoria, is Broadway or shows productions going digital? I mean, a lot of businesses are now finding that they can, in fact, it's a huge new opportunity to do things online, and a lot of the expense of traveling and, accommodations is now, off to the side. So what's happening with that? Because I can't imagine what all these actors and actresses and singers are doing.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff happening. Obviously, it first started on Zoom, and it was sort of the Brady Bunch model, everybody in the squares, and a lot of reading started that way. So that's being, there's a lot of that, I would say. And then many people got creative and then started new businesses, there's Broadway Virtual and Broadway On Demand, and a lot of services where they're trying to up the game, so to speak, and get the production values better, and more editing is going on, so that there will be more and more. I think you'll see more and more productions done virtually. Every day it seems like another company is coming out trying to sort of refine that model a lot.
Can we make money on that, or is it not a good model for money making?
I think it's going to be up to the unions. It's right now the performer unions. The Actors Equity is the union that the live theater performers belong to. And then there's the Screen Actors Guild after that, the that's the union that you belong to if you're performing on television or movies. And so there's negotiations, shall we say, going on as to who has jurisdiction over those performances. And what union is going to pay for those, and who's getting the money and who's getting the pension and welfare payments.
What's happened to the current contracts that were out there? So like for a long-running show like Evan Hansen, or a new show like Company, there were actors that were committed, and then of course this didn't happen. Is everybody released from their contract? Everybody in hold? What's happening for these plays? When Broadway does come back, will those shows come back, or are those shows all going to be wiped clean? What can we expect?
It's on a show-by-show scenario. Certain producers who have money in the bank, so to speak, what they call a contingency, some will come back if they have the money to come back, because there'll be some startup costs of, because if they were only laid off for a month, as we originally thought it would be, then yeah, they can, just pretty much go right back.
Basically, it's a case-by-case basis, and the contracts vary in each situation. So does that mean Does that mean long-term, like, you know, the actors who were committed are no longer committed, they've all moved on, they have to bring new people in? What does that mean as far as when this ever comes back?
Well, the actors will come back on a case-by-case basis depending upon the show. If the show has had enough of a contingency that they're able to bring the show back on, they have the money in the bank to cover those costs, to re-rehearse and whatever they need to do to bring the actors back on board, and those actors are available, yes, they'll come back. Otherwise, they'll meet the, you know, the problem of having to recast and re-rehearse. So it's going to be a bit of a mixed bag. It's not going to be an easy task.
I was shocked that Frozen, which is a Disney production, which seems like it would have unlimited money, that closed during this. Mm-hmm. But little shows like an Evan Hansen and maybe Company seem like they're, I haven't heard that they're washed up. Is that surprising to you, or am I missing something?
No, I mean, they hope to come back. They had, you know, good ticket sales, healthy ticket sales, healthy in advance, what they call. In the industry where they had, you know, enough money in the bank to an advance sales. So they were healthy shows. So they probably will come back. I don't have that on any authority. It's just my personal opinion that they probably will come back and people want to see them. The only issue is tourism. You know, if the show is heavily dependent on tourists, you know, how soon are tourists going to come back to New York? That's the problem. And so some decisions will be made on that. And also, what is the audience makeup? If the audience makeup is tourists and the audience is older generation, you know, 50, 60 plus, that's another, you know, factor that will enter into the decision, because if that's the general population of your audience, that's going to be the last group that's going to come back.
So Victoria, I'm curious about the actors and actresses and the musicians. I mean, you know a lot of them. I know I have a close friend that does cabaret, and I always get the feeling from him that he feels washed up and he's never going to perform again. What, you know, how are people supporting themselves? You know, what is the attitude of a lot of people? Even the major stars.
Yeah. Well, first is unemployment. then it's everybody's hanging together. I know there is a lot of despair. You know, people are, it's going on a long time. And then everyone is trying to, the big word is pivot. So everyone's trying to pivot and come up with, well, what else can we do? There's some hope in that television shows and film is starting to come back, and they seem to be figuring out a way to do it. There's a joke like the porn industry figured it out. So during the AIDS crisis, so, right. You know, we could figure it out, you know, now. So that was sort of the joke that was going around recently. So the film and television industry is coming back soon. So they're looking at that, and they're coming up with creative ways to do virtual programming in the meantime. And then some theaters outside of New York, and even off-Broadway, is going to start doing some of the theaters that are 99 seats theaters, the smaller theaters in New York, they're going to start to reopening, and some of the cabaret stuff. It'll be limited seating, but they will, those types of places will start to reopen when the indoor venues start to reopen.
And will people have to wear masks in the venue, or, I mean?
That'll be up to the guidelines that the state and the city put down, but probably, most likely. I don't think the performer will, because they can't sing or talk through it, but yes, the audience probably will.
Or there'll be a lot of medical dramas, one medical drama after another.
After another, right.
Yeah. Mask, it'll seem like it fits the show.
Victoria, is this a clever mask.
Right, is this a good time for people, investors, to get into the business, run away from the business? Or, I mean, is there going to be a lot of innovation that's happening now that's going to stick around forever, you know, in terms of productions and the way it's done?
Oh, there's a lot of innovation, and there's a lot of, it's a great time to invest in theater because there's a lot of great deals. Yes, this is a lot of good deals. Producers are offering a lot of good deals to investors. But, you know, for things that are going to start up next year. So that is one good thing that's come out of it. It's looking to the future, because you know, people know that it is going to come back. It's just a waiting game. Because as you see, everything's changing day by day. I'll talk to a theater in California as we're booking a certain tour, and the dates change. You know, three times they've changed, but they're still committed to doing it. But it's because the guidelines will change, but they're still committed to doing the show. And then, you know, like you said, today they announced different guidelines in Florida, and you've got to quarantine here and you've got to quarantine there. And you have to take these things into account even with touring. If you've got a company that's going to travel from one state to another, well, now their guidelines, if you've got to quarantine for 2 weeks, so. And how do you tour a whole company, you know, if you quarantine them together on a bus and travel them, and then they've got to sit there for 2 weeks in that state. So there's a lot of challenges out there.
I mean, there's also the actors and actresses. Are they available?
Yeah, they're all available.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. People want to work.
Yeah.
They want to work.
You know, in the 1970s, I heard, because I wasn't around then. But the 1970s, we're always talking about, you know, is this the end of Broadway? Is this the end of Broadway? And so when this all happened, I'm sure that's been bantered, right? You know, this is maybe not an entertainment way that's going to work into the future. Do you think this is not going to take Broadway down? Do you think it'll come back stronger than ever? Or are you nervous that this is could be a fatal blow or a serious blow to the Broadway community?
I don't think it's going to take Broadway down, but it's definitely, you're going to see a lot of shows that we thought would run for a long time will probably close the longer it goes on. And then you'll just see some new things come. Like you said, in the 70s, there's a Michael Riedel's book, Razzle Dazzle, talked about, you know, all Broadway was dead in the 70s, and you could get any theater you wanted, you know, in the 70s and the 80s. And now, you know, until, you know, the virus hit, it was like planes lined up at JFK at rush hour. You know, you could not get into a theater. You were just on a wait, playing a waiting game, trying to get one. So probably there'll be more theaters available, and there'll be more innovation. Just like, you know, if you've been on a plane lately or in certain places, people say in the New York subway, you've never seen it so clean. You've never seen a subway so clean. I think you're going to see a lot of cleaner theaters and people paying more attention to things. There'll be a lot of innovations, you know, out of crisis comes innovation. So we'll see some new things, and you're probably going to see a lot of plays about about this time in our lives, I'm sure.
Absolutely. So speaking of innovation, can't talk about innovation without mentioning our sponsor who powers Lying on the Beach on Camera, and that is the Handle Stick. Lois will demo it for us. The Handle Stick, which is the accessory that you can add directly to your phone or to your phone case. It lets you hold the phone much easier. You can also set it up so that it is a kickstand, so that you can use your phone vertically or horizontally. And one of the newest features, you can actually get one personalized. So besides coming in 40 amazing colors, you can actually get your face printed on that, or your company logo, or your favorite Broadway show right on your Handle Stick. And of course, the most amazing thing about the Handle Stick is the fact that David knows this. What's the starting price of the Handle Stick? David, please.
$10.
That's right, just $10. So you can't beat that price. And so if you want more information, you can go to Handle, H-A-N-D-L, New York, spelled out, .com. That's Handle, H-A-N-D-L, New York, .com to find out all the beautiful colors it comes in and all the different patterns, and to customize it. So you can have your own customized, one-of-a-kind Handle Stick. So please check that out. And we always appreciate Handle for being our sponsor and powering Lying on the Beach.
So Victoria, I know a lot of people that have said in the last several months that, you know, New York is just not the same without theater. You know, people that are down here with me in Miami Beach, or people I speak to in LA or the Midwest, like, why should I go to New York? There's nothing to do. You know, there's no theater. And it's so strange. I mean, I am a New Yorker. I lived there most of my life. I lived in the same apartment building and the same apartment for 40 years. And people are talking about New York like I've never heard before. New York was always ground zero in terms of the world, as far as I was concerned. And now it's like, why should I go to New York? I want to move out of New York. There's nothing to do. And I'm like, oh my God, are you crazy? it's not going to be like this forever. What is your answer to that?
The same. It's not going to be like this forever, but it is. I'm only a short distance outside of New York now, but going back there on an occasional basis, it's very different. But you know, we have to do what we have to do to get rid of this virus, and you know, like all things will pass. It will pass soon, and we'll figure it out. We happen to be a very creative community, the theater community. That's what we do. We create. We come up and with new ways to innovate, and so we'll figure it out. And theater will be back. As I said, it's going to start off Broadway. It'll start small. It'll start with solo shows, you know, two-handers, as they call them, with two people, small shows in smaller venues where all of the conditions can be controlled and people will feel comfortable and safe. And it'll probably start with the younger people because they feel invincible. They don't feel as vulnerable as older right. audiences. And probably the New Yorker people in the five boroughs that, you know, can get there easily. And then I think once there's a comfort level, the tourists and people will start to come back. And probably the bigger shows with, you know, the healthier shows like the Hamiltons, Wicked's, you know, those shows, maybe the Disney shows will start to come back. And, you know, someone has to be the first one and prove that they can do it and figure it out.
I certainly hope that more Manhattanites that kind of like get a little lax because they're right there and they figured, oh, I can go anytime, mm-hmm. that they become very supportive of theater, you know, and actually get out of their apartments. People don't know the habits of people that live in Manhattan. They cocoon a lot. They don't feel the necessity to do anything because they're at an advantage point of always being able to, you know, go and do whenever they want. So they wait. So we need them. I'm going to start a campaign. Get out
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Get out of the apartment. Yeah, get out.
I think New York without Broadway is not totally New York. But I also think that this is a moment in time. There will be some sort of treatment or virus that'll make it, you know, ease people up and make people feel comfortable doing this again. So I think Broadway, you know, it's taking a nice long break, but I think it's going to come back stronger than ever because people miss it, they love it, and there's nothing like live theater. So, and if for anyone who hasn't gone to a Broadway show, put it in your 2021 calendar. You've got to see a Broadway show. So, exactly. On that note, yeah, do we have anything more to ask?
Oh, David, I do have one more question. Victoria, do you think that this pandemic is going to impact pricing of theater? Because a lot of people couldn't go because they couldn't afford a few hundred dollars to see a major show.
Yeah, I think it'll depend on the economy and how people are able to bounce back from it if they're, yeah, but that's one of the reasons that Broadway will not reopen until there's 100% capacity available, because the ticket prices couldn't go up to $300 or $400 a ticket with a reduced capacity, and that just wouldn't work. So yeah, the ticket prices have to remain affordable, and there probably will be, you know, some favorable terms possibly to entice people to come back to certain shows.
Do you think maybe the real estate people who own these theaters might give a break on rent because they want these things to survive, or it doesn't really work that way?
Yeah. No comment.
I was ready to see how you were going to answer that.
Okay, well,
they're money hungry people, Steve. They don't get, they're all Republicans.
Oh, that was Lois who said that. Okay, so I think on that note, David, any follow up that you have for us? Just giving us a thumbs
He's
up.
Happy.
Okay. Our engineer, David, running the show here. Once again, Victoria, thank you so much. Let's hope Broadway comes back stronger than ever. And that goes true for regional theater as well. Thank you for what you do. Once again, I'm Steve Greenberg with David. I want to get
him. Oh, my God, David, you became number two.
He's number
two. I'm not
two.
Doing another thing. I'm just sitting here. David, you can take over.
Okay, I'm Steve Greenberg with David. Go.
No, it was supposed to be Lois.
Go, well, Lois.
He doesn't care about me anymore. I don't care. I'm retired.
Okay. Well, I don't want to be here by myself. Come on, we have to say goodbye. This will never end. People will be stuck on their phones. It's just not fair to them.
I'm the former Lois Whitman Hess, number two.
Okay, and you know, I'll go, and then our engineer, David. David, say your name.
David Yevons.
Okay. And we want to thank Victoria. And the four of us have been lying on the beach on camera, LOBOC. Thank you, everybody. Take care. Go to Broadway when it opens.